We bid you welcome first and express appreciation for your being here. And we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good to get together. The lesson comes from the text that was us this morning. Titled it Ezra's Recipe for Restoration, or the Restoration Principles given by Ezra. And I'm pretty sure that many of you have never heard that story before. It's found in the Old Testament of Nehemiah 8, and so I thank Jeremiah for reading it. And I did leave out the two verses and all the names in it, Jeremiah, so I kind of spared you that. When you mention the word restore, and that was in the lesson title, it means to put something back into practice, or to reestablish, to put something into its previous good state, or to reinstate a former practice. So because the story is not so familiar, I put in the back of the bulletin and the outline a review of the story itself to give you the setting for the story. And again, about 470 years B.C., meaning before Christ or the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus, these Old Testament prophets, Haggai, Ezra, Nehemiah, Zechariah, Malachi, Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and thousands of Jews returned to Jerusalem, having been held captive in Babylon, and receiving permission to return from Cyrus, who is now king of Persia, they returned to rebuild the walls of the city. They returned from Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and to set in order the keeping of the law of Moses that was given to them by God. And that's the main thrust of our lesson this morning and the story in Nehemiah chapter 8. On this occasion, the people gathered together and they brought out the Old Testament book, or the writings of Moses, the law. And Ezra read that law for several days during this feast day. And when reading from the book of Leviticus chapter 23, beginning of verse 35, they discovered that when observing the Feast of the Tabernacles, they were supposed to live in booths, or brush arbors, if you will. And they were to live in these booths during the Feast of the Tabernacles from Sabbath to Sabbath. And in the book of Leviticus, it tells them on which month and which day to start that, living in booths and observing this seven-day Feast of the Tabernacles. And having read that, and Ezra giving an explanation for it, the people understood that they were not doing that. It had not been observed that way for almost 1,000 years. And in, as Jeremiah read, in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 17, it says, the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity, they made booths, or the brush arbors, and sat under them. For since the days of Joshua until this day, the children of Israel had not done so. For almost 1,000 years, there was something they hadn't done. But now they were very glad, because now that it's being read and explained, they said, we're going to put it back into practice. So from that day forward, of the reading of the law by Ezra and others, the Levites, they restored the practice of living in booths during the Feast of the Tabernacles from Sabbath to Sabbath. So I put in your notes, why tell this story? Why tell this story? I'm not very familiar with this story. We don't live under the old law, and we live under the new law, the New Testament. But the Bible says in the New Testament, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, whatsoever things were written beforehand, or before time, were written for our learning. So there's something in this Old Testament story that we can learn. Also, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, these things, meaning the Old Testament situations, these things happened to them as examples. They were written for our admonition. So what am I to learn from this Old Testament story? What are they admonishing me about? There's another reason why we tell this story. Because it's possible, at least I put these in your notes, it's possible that even today, for those of us who live under the New Testament, religious people, not just us as a congregation, to leave something out that God has recorded for us. But when we read the New Testament, and when it's discovered there's something that we've been leaving out, it needs to be restored or started again. For example, in some religious groups, they don't worship on the Lord's Day or the first day of the week. They meet on a different day. When the New Testament is read, they should understand we worship on the Lord's Day, and we need to give it an explanation, and they need to restore worshiping on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. What about taking the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? We see Paul's instruction, and even where the disciples met together on the first day of the week to break bread or partake of the Lord's Supper, there's some religious groups that don't do that. They may take the Lord's Supper once a month, four times a year, twice a year, once a year. So when we retell this Old Testament story, because there might be something that when we read the Word of God, we find that that should be put into practice or restored, and then do it. Or what about baptism for remission of sins? And baptism by immersion in water. So we need to be admonished, and we need to learn from an Old Testament story. Also, we learn that God's word may be understood. These Israelites, you see, in this story that was read to you this morning, did not forsake the living in booths because of misunderstanding of God's word. What they misunderstood. They had forsaken booths because they did not read God's word. They did not study God's word. And now when Ezra stands up and reads from the book of the law and reads about this particular situation in the law, they say, whoa, we haven't been doing that. We better start. So that day, they began to put it into practice. In verses 7 and 8, they read distinctly from the book in the law of God. They gave the sense, Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Levites, and they helped him to understand the reading. So reading the Old Testament law and giving the sense, they obeyed and they restored the practice of living in booths for 7 days during the Feast of Tabernacles, from Sabbath to Sabbath. And then also, why tell this story? Because like Israel, we should have the desire not to read the Old Testament, but we live under the New Testament, so let's read the New Testament, understand it, and desire to follow it the way it says. Speaking in the New Testament, Paul said, the Apostle Paul, when writing to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, and I'm not sure I don't put that one in your notes, but in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, how that by revelation God made known to me the mystery. All right, Paul? I know the mystery. All right, the gospel is for all. And so then he continues, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand. Paul said, yeah, the mystery was given to me by revelation. So I wrote it down, and I sent my letter to this congregation. So when you read, you may what? Understand. You see, God has the ability to communicate in a way that we may understand. So to say, for someone to say that you cannot understand God's word speaks against God's ability to speak clearly. You're telling me you can't understand God's word. Then we need to read, study, have someone give an explanation. give the sense, and then when we understand, put it into practice. You see, there's something to learn from an Old Testament story. There's an admonition that we need to take heed to. So the rest of the lesson, I just want to give you Ezra's recipe, and so I'm just going to review the story that was read to us, and then I put in a summary in your notes. But here they are. Number one, what's it going to take to restore something that we haven't been practicing? Number one is that in verse 1, now all the people gathered together as one man. They were in front of the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So the people gathered as one, meaning they were going to be united in thought and action when it came to following God's word. The people came together and they had the attitude of what God says we'll do. So if we're going to restore a practice that we haven't been practicing, or any religious group, we need to come together as one and an attitude that says, I will do what God says. I'm going to skip a few things because you have the notes. Paul does write to the brethren in Corinth. He says, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, heavenly authority, that you all speak the same thing. Yeah, there is one. Then he continues, interesting phrases. That there be no divisions among you. That you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, same judgment. So when we read God's word, we need to come together as one, and we need to have an attitude that we're going to speak the same thing, no divisions, be joined together, same mind, same judgment. That's a recipe for restoration. The restoration principle. Number two, it's in verse 2. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly. Oh, so all right, we all come together, number one. All right, we all have the same mind. We came for the same purpose, the same attitude, what God says we'll do. It's there. Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly. The authority for gathering as one was the law of Moses. And the law of Moses would be the final say in their attitude and actions in this Old Testament story. There wasn't going to be any debate about whether to follow it or not. Whatever the law of Moses says, that's what we're going to do. It's an attitude or a principle or a recipe for restoration. In deciding what needed to be done, they didn't appeal to majority rule. They didn't appeal to human opinion. They didn't appeal to a heartfelt idea. Oh, I just think this is right over here. No matter what God says, I just feel this is right. No, that wasn't the authority. They didn't appeal to tradition. They could have said, you know, we haven't been doing this for 1,000 years. But when the law was read, and if they found out they needed to have booths at the Feast of the Tabernacles, they said, we'll do it. We'll do it. Even though we haven't been doing it for a long time. That's what some people say. Oh, no, we haven't been doing it for 1,000 years. It's probably okay. No, they weren't doing it, not because they misunderstood the law. They didn't do it because they hadn't read the law. You know, when you appeal to different sources for religion, it causes division. Someone says, well, in my religion, we have a manual. Another religious group says, oh, we have a book of discipline. Oh, another religious group says, oh, we have science and religion. Another one says, oh, well, we appeal to one person. Oh, another one says, well, we have a convention once a year in Atlanta, Georgia. We appeal to one man across the ocean for our authority. Really? Because of people appealing to all these different sources of authority, it causes religious division. The authority in Christianity today is the Word of God. Jesus said it in John, in several places, but in John chapter 8, verse 30, says he, meaning Jesus, spoke these words, and many believed on him. Well, that's good. Jesus speaks and many believe. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth. What's truth? Jesus said it in John 17, verse 17. My word is truth. One source of authority. That word of God has authority over all those other sources of religion. Jesus said it in John 12, verse 48. Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has one that judges him. The word that I spake, the same will judge him in the last day. When we appear before Jesus and God on the great and the last judgment day, the source for authority is not going to be human opinion, tradition, heartfelt, one person, majority rule. This is the way we always did it, God. He who rejects me and my word, Jesus said, as one that judges him, the word that I spake, one source of authority, the word that I spake. Number three is in verse 3. He read from it, meaning the law of Moses, in the open square in front of the water gate from morning till midday. Oh, aren't you glad we don't do that anymore? From morning till midday. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The third requirement for restoration. Put something in practice that maybe we haven't been doing. If you're going to be attentive, word of God. It means you're going to concentrate your attention on something. It means you're going to be alert. You're going to be mindful. If you're going to be attentive, you're going to take heed. To be aware. You're going to pay attention. There won't be daydreaming. So that third requirement in this recipe for restoration, the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Number four, verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6. So Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. He was standing above all the people, meaning up on a stand or just a little higher in elevation. He opened it. People stood up. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered amen. So that's the right response. So if we're going to have restoration, if we're going to do what God says, and we haven't been doing it for 1,000 years. No. Let's take a look. Let's all gather together. First of all, being like-minded. We came to hear what God has to say. Being like-minded, we're going to follow what God says. Number two, we're going to bring the book of the law, meaning what Jesus says, the New Testament. Then number three, we're going to be attentive. Pay attention. Sit up. Then number four, and wait. Let it happen. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Jesus, in his revelation to the churches in Revelation 1, verse 3, says, oh, there's a blessing in he who reads and those who hear. And then the third requirement, and keep those things which are written in it. Yeah. Be attentive. Yeah. Well, I heard what Brian said when he read from the New Testament. But now let's do it. Let's do it. Number five. Verses 7 and 8. The Levites helped the people to understand the law. They read distinctly from the book. The law of God gave the sense. Helped them to understand the reading. Oh, it's possible to understand God's word. I've learned that from this Old Testament story. Old Testament, what's its purpose? Why tell an Old Testament story? For our learning and our admonition. One purpose of preaching or teaching a Bible class or just talking with one another is to give understanding. Jesus did that after his resurrection and right before his ascension. In Luke chapter 20, Jesus said to them, the apostles, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. I'm going to tell you what I said when I was with you. That all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Is it possible to understand God's word? Possible to comprehend? Yeah. Philip teaches the Ethiopian. He'd been to Jerusalem to worship and he's on his way home. And in Acts chapter 8, the story is recorded in verses 30 through 38. And in verse 30, it says, so Philip ran to him, heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless someone guides me? So he asked Philip to come and sit with him. Before, the Ethiopian said, I ask you, does the prophet say this of himself or someone else? I need some help understanding this word. I need someone to give me the sense. I need someone to help me explain the text. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at that scripture, preached unto him Jesus. Then he understood. After the teaching, the preaching, Philip giving the sense, giving an explanation. And he said, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How'd you reach that conclusion? Oh, that's right, Philip gave the sense of the scripture that I was just reading. I didn't know who the prophet was speaking about. Philip preached unto him Jesus. Stop. They both went down into the water. Philip baptized him. They came up out of the water. And the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. He put into practice what he hadn't done before. Number six, the last one, in verse 12. So that the words that were read to them, it's in verses 13 through 18. So they were gathered together with Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded Moses about the having booths at the Feast of the Tabernacles. So they read that. And they had the booth for 7 days, Sabbath to Sabbath. And they put into practice what was just read in the old law. They obeyed the law. Verse 16, the people went out, just made themselves booths, each one. And then when you obey the word of God, verse 17 of this text that was read to us, there was great gladness. There's a sense of contentment, joy, gladness. When you read God's word, you know what's required, and you do it. You put it into practice. That's the lesson. Also, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture, word of God, is given by inspiration and is prompt for doctrine, source of authority, for what you believe, inspired word of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. The man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So there's a reason why we tell that Old Testament story. It gives us these principles or a recipe for restoration. An attitude and an action to put into practice what God says. How to live, how to worship, how to have our sins forgiven. The last words of Jesus before he ascended back to the Father in Matthew chapter 28 says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. God's word can be understood, can be comprehended. Mark records it in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I can't misunderstand that. I know what to do. It's a recipe for restoration. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you've not obeyed that great commission that he gave before he sent him back to the Father, you have that opportunity this morning. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement, a song of exhortation, a song of invitation. And whosoever will may come. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, we can accomplish that this morning. So let's make it front and lead us in this song of invitation. And whosoever will may come.